Okay, good morning everyone. I'd just like to start by thanking you for coming and welcoming you to the Summer Outlook Seminar. I'll briefly introduce myself. I'm Kirsty Berg and I've been head of GB Markets, working on the wholesale side of things at Ofgem since the start of the year, and I'll be chairing this seminar. So I'll briefly take you through this morning's programme. There we go. We're going to start with Andrew Wright, our Managing Director in Markets and Ofgem, and he's going to be talking about what he thinks the key issues are currently in the energy sector and what they are over the coming months, probably focusing mostly on prices. Then James Lawson, Head of Sales and Marketing at Centrica Storage, will provide his view of what's been happening and what might happen to storage facilities, and might talk about some implications for the coming winter as well. We'll then have a very quick Q&A session, maybe take a couple of questions there before we break for coffee. Then Matt Huddleston from the Hadley Centre of Climate Change at the Met Office will talk about, I think, some of the risks surrounding the forecasting process, set the forecast in a bit of context by talking a bit about climate change, and say something about what he thinks might happen this summer. And finally, Alan Smart, who's Energy Operation Manager at National Grid, leading a number of teams there, including the teams responsible for producing the summer and winter outlook, will talk about what he thinks are the key issues facing the sector over the summer. We'll then, at the end of that, we'll have a Q&A session. We'd be happy to take questions for clarification during the presentation, that would be good. But if we could save questions of substance for the Q&A after the first session, and then perhaps have a more full discussion for 20 minutes, half an hour or so, after Alan has spoken. Okay, well, over to you, Andrew.
Okay, thank you, Kirsty. Right, as Kirsty said, I'm Andrew Wright. I'm the Managing Director of Markets at Ofgem. I joined, in fact, the same day as Kirsty at the beginning of this year, and I think you know, both of us have had a fairly torrid few months. I think the important thing for me to do today is not steal the thunder of National Grid, who will be speaking last and will be addressing the supply and demand situation in gas and electricity in more detail. But instead I'm going to look at what I see as the central conundrum in terms of this summer's outlook, and that is, although we have what seems to me to be a reasonably comfortable outlook in terms of supply and demand, in terms of availability of plants and so on, and I'll let Alan expand on that in more detail later on. Prices are at record levels for a summer looking forward, and are expected to remain high or remain at this high level or even go higher. And the central driver of that appears to be strong oil prices, which in turn drives gas prices, feeding through to both carbon and power. I think one of the things I think is also important to address is the relationship between power prices, gas prices, coal prices, and carbon prices, which I think is yet to play itself out fully in this market. I think the other point here is also the nature of the risks this summer. I think within the context of saying everything is comfortable, I think there are some risks around. We've got a lower than usual nuclear output. We've got additional constraints on the Scottish interconnector, the sort of increased temperature sensitivity of air conditioning demand, and also the facing the uncertainties of the LCPD, the Large Combustion Plant Directive, and the impact of that on the availability and behaviour of coal plants. So all of these things perhaps increase some of the risks this summer and maybe explain some of the things I'm about to show you. Go back to the relationship between all the various fuels. I think it's worth recapping this just before I go into what I'm going to talk about. Fundamentally, I think what we're seeing at the moment, as the UK becomes increasingly interconnected with global energy markets, is that the oil price is the fundamental driver, which is driving European gas prices, and that's through the mechanism of the long-term supply contracts that continental European players tend to have with the suppliers of gas. And there tends to be a leakage of that gas-oil price relationship into wholesale markets because both of the flexibility in the volumes that can be taken under those contracts and indeed gas storage. So that means that those prices do tend to find their way into the wholesale markets, and that feeds through to UK prices, which is now heavily interconnected with continental Europe, not only through BBL and the UK interconnector, but also indirectly because both are effectively taking gas out of Norway, and Norway has a choice about whether or not gas is supplied to the UK or continental Europe, and also through LNG markets as well. Gas prices in the UK interrelate with coal prices and feed into carbon prices. Effectively, the carbon market needs to balance, and one of the main ways that that happens is through switching between coal generation and gas-fired generation. As a result, you would expect to see some interrelationship between between carbon prices and gas prices, such that if the differential between gas and coal increases, you'd expect the carbon price to increase to balance that. And then when you add all that together, the coal, the carbon, and the gas, then you get the main drivers of the electricity price. So all of those at the moment are going up, as can be seen in the next chart. I think you can see very clearly there. All of these have been showing strong upward trends over the year. Coal and oil at record levels, $144 a ton for coal, $120 a ton for oil, and feeding through both into power and gas at 70 and 64 respectively. So the commodity prices have been rising across the board. Let's go into it fuel by fuel, starting off with oil. This is the main culprit. The forward curve is suggesting no great relief, staying at above $100, well beyond April 2009. Having said that, though, I think the forward curve in oil is about as good a predictor of the oil price as I am. I think it doesn't necessarily mean what's going to happen. I think our feeling is the key driver here is economic growth in the Far East. And while that remains strong, it's difficult to see any instant or short-term relief from high oil prices. That, of course, feeds through into gas. The supply situation over the winter appears to be fairly comfortable, and I think the Grangemouth events is evidence of that. I think we saw a significant loss of supply as a result of the Grangemouth industrial dispute, we saw the gas markets adapt to that with barely skipping a beat. Maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration. I'm sure there was some concern about it, but nonetheless, the market seemed to have adapted to that loss of supply there. And I think the key point they've already made is that the UK gas price is oil-driven. The marginal supply is generally coming from continental Europe, and indeed the marginal demand, which I think is a point that's often forgotten. So if the UK finds itself with more gas than it needs, the buying will tend to come from continental Europe. And that's driven by long-term, and the price there tends to be driven by long-term oil index contracts. Just to show you how the gas price has evolved, this shows the season ahead price up to the current time, and then the forward curve thereafter. You can see that the forward curve shows gas prices staying high throughout the summer and moving up to new levels next winter. And those new levels, partly the usual seasonal increase in prices, but also reflects the rising oil price, which tends to find its way into gas prices with a lag, reflecting the lag that's usually in the long-term oil index contracts. We also see the gas price last year, and I think one interesting point there is that if we were sitting here this time last year, we would have been at a time when the season ahead price was a nearly an all-time low, below 20p, all-time low certainly not, but a recent low below 20p, but was signaling more than a doubling of gas prices for next winter. And if you actually then track that across to this year, you can see that that's the forward curve in this instance was actually a very good predictor of the outturn prices. And that partly reflects the mechanistic nature in which gas prices are determined through the oil index contracts. So from that point of view, I would take the very strong gas prices next winter very seriously indeed. Just to see how the forward curve has evolved, this shows the forward curve 6 months ahead, 30 days ago, and just a few days ago. And I think you can see there the strong upward trend over the last 6 months in the forward curve, right the way across the curve. And indeed, that half of that increase over the last 6 months has occurred in the last month. So we've seen a very sharp change, another very sharp change upwards in the last 30 days in terms of gas prices. This chart really just illustrates, this is comparing the forward curve in the UK, in Zeebrugge and TTF Belgium, Holland. I think what it shows here is a clear indication that these markets are strongly interconnected, and the differences in prices are relatively small between them, certainly compared to the scale of price movement we've seen in recent months. And this chart just illustrates that the border price, I mean, what this shows is that the UK forward contract tends to be a little bit more volatile than the prices under the long-term contracts. I think the border prices, the Emden Troll and Zeebrugge Troll border prices, tend to be a more accurate reflection of what we're seeing in the long-term contracts. And so although there's a driver there, I think the UK price tends to be a little bit more volatile. And that, I think, partly reflects greater sensitivity to weather effects, and I think also reflects the sort of supply and demand, the import and export position. Moving on to gas supply, that's gone too far. Moving on to the gas supplies position, I think what this chart shows is two things. One, it shows the top left-hand chart, which is, you can see that one up here, shows the long-range gas storage position. And what it shows is that this is the 2008 chart, and it shows that gas storage is significant, or volumes of gas in storage are significantly lower than we've seen in the last 2 years. But the last 2 years were exceptional for different reasons. I think if you look at last year, which is this red one here, that was exceptional because of the very warm weather conditions, so gas storage wasn't used anything like as heavily. And of course, 2 years ago, the blue line there, we had the explosion on the Rough platform, which led to no further withdrawals for the remainder of the winter period. As a result, gas storage remained at a fairly high level. So I think this is more of a normal year in terms of gas storage, and certainly nothing to be worried about. And I think coming back to the point about Grangemouth, this chart here shows the supply and the sources of supply to the UK over 2007-2008. I think one thing you can see is the response to the Grangemouth incident here, where the beach deliveries dropped off quite sharply, and fortunately coincided with a period of quite low demand for gas, compensated by increases through the interconnector. And on that theme, the UK is becoming increasingly import dependent, and I think one of the key things that's emerged over the last couple of years is we're not only net importers of gas during the summer period, during the winter period, but also during the lower demand periods in the summer, as you can see here. And as a result, I think the old pattern where you saw the UK perhaps trading at a modest premium to European prices during the winter period and perhaps as a discount during the summer is no longer with us. I think we're probably more interconnected now with European gas prices throughout the whole year. The final link in the chain, power prices. This chart here, it's the same chart that we showed before for gas. It shows that the season ahead, so in this case, the day ahead power price the forward curve for the power price. And you can see a slightly different pattern here in that the summer price, you don't see this big jump up into the winter price. And the reason for that, I think, is that we've seen this large increase in power prices over the last month or so. We see that being, the forward curve shows that being sustained throughout the summer. I'll come back to this in a minute because what we've seen is a significant increase in spreads in the market over that period. You know, once again, the year ago prices, you can see the extent of the increase in prices over the last 12 months. So it's a somewhat flatter picture, not showing the peak into next winter, but that's more because the summer prices in power are high rather than that the winter prices are low. And this partly illustrates that if you compare the GB forward curve, quarterly forward curve, with where we were 30 days ago, that looks much more like the pattern in gas. This is much, much flatter, and we've had a very significant increase in power prices over the last 30 days. You know, when you then look at the forward curve across Europe, you get the same sort of picture. UK power prices are now standing in the forward curve at a significant premium to European prices, particularly in the short term, which I think once again reflects these surprisingly high spreads in the UK over the summer period, particularly surprising given the national grid outlook for the summer being, you know, reasonably comfortable with a few provisos. You know, there's also a gap in the winter. So, you know, I think that raises another question. I think it raises a question about whether or not the price of carbon is high enough, whether or not we're going to see a rebalancing of the coal, gas, and the carbon price so as to bring the coal-driven continental European prices closer to the UK price. I think that's illustrated to some extent in the next chart. And what this shows is the spark and dark spreads for the UK for gas and coal plants. This is the top line here is gas here. This is coal. And what we're seeing here is spark spreads at, you know, what is historically very high levels over the next few months. You know, a day ahead over 20 pounds and staying over 15 pounds a megawatt hour. For right the way through to September, and that's you know, significantly above what we would expect for new entrant prices, and I think something I would, you know, appreciate any views on if anyone has about why these spark spreads are so high. I think one of the other interesting features about this is that at the moment we're in a position which you would probably expect in a carbon-constrained market, where the carbon prices are high enough. And the coal prices are high enough to mean that coal-fired generation is more expensive than gas, and the spreads are lower for coal than they are for gas. But that situation reverses as we go into next winter, and you know that raises the question of, you know, what that will mean is that potentially as we go into next winter, you'll see an increase in the load factors of coal-fired generation and an increase in carbon emissions, and that raises the question of whether the carbon market will respond to that scenario, and whether or not we need to see higher carbon prices to keep a lid on the carbon emissions in the UK. Now, obviously, carbon prices reflect the balance of coal and gas generation and other emission reduction activities across the whole of continental Europe. But it's worth saying, even in that pan-European context, the switching ability in the UK is a very significant part of the short-term responsiveness to carbon prices in terms of carbon emissions, the short-term swing. You know, I'm not so bold as to make a prediction, but this does seem to suggest that if gas prices stay where they are and if coal prices stay where they are, then we would expect carbon prices to go higher in order to balance the carbon market and prevent a reversal of the trend towards lower carbon emissions. And that, in turn, could mean higher power prices as it feeds through to the power price and the cost of generation. Touching on a couple of other issues, which I think will be dealt with in more detail in National Grid's presentation. Two other issues, I think, of significance. One is the Large Combustion Plant Directive, which may actually be one of the factors explaining the high spreads that we're seeing in the near term in the UK market. It may influence summer operating patterns. There are two things here. One is the bidding behavior of this plant, whether or not how that's influenced by the limitations on sulfur emissions and the running hour limitations. And secondly, that some of this capacity is being taken out in order to install flue gas desulfurization as well. So both of those factors could have an impact. And I think the second issue is constraints. There's work being done over on the Scotland-England interconnector over this summer, and that will limit the availability of power from Scotland into England and the impact of constraints there, which could increase price volatility in the market as well. And finally, just, I know this is a summer outlook, but I'm sure questions will be asked about the longer term view. I think the key point here is that international trends are increasingly important, not only in terms of price, where the UK is interconnected into gas markets, which is in turn driven by LNG prices and oil prices, but also in terms of supply and demand. And I think it's impossible to divorce UK security of supply and demand from supply and demand issues in the wider European and global marketplace. As far as what will happen to prices going forward, I think the general message is that we're likely to have to continue to live with a high price environment while we have high oil prices. And I think the only perhaps chink in the high oil price outlook is potentially a slowdown of economic growth in the Far East and demand from the Far East. That's not impossible, but it's not something I think we would necessarily rely on in the short term. On carbon, it seems to us that by and large the only way is up. I mean, we're talking about tightening emission targets in the longer term, and the coal-gas interaction and the emerging high dark spreads for next year suggest that, if anything, carbon prices need to go up in the shorter term as well. On gas, I think LNG is very important in the medium term. It's difficult to see there being a significant surplus of LNG at any time in the near future, but should that ever happen, that could be one factor which undermines the oil price linkage in gas in continental Europe. But that's with the strength of demand from the Far East and the delays in infrastructure or new gas projects coming on, then I think that doesn't look hugely likely. And I think the other key issue here is EU reform, and we continue to watch with interest as the third package makes its way through the processes. And some concern that it may be the case that process of progress on liberalisation and unbundling in gas may well be slower than that in electricity. On the supply and demand issue, I've already mentioned this is an international issue now, but I think another key thing of something that perhaps is in the control of investment and regulators and others in the UK is gas storage, which could improve the security of supply situation in the UK. And on the power side, I think the thing I would point out, the big challenge there is 2016, when we are at risk of losing 11 gigawatts of opted out coal and oil fired power generation. There is some new plant being built at the moment, but we'd need to see more plant coming on to ensure that we can meet that 2016 challenge with comfort. So I think that's the key supply and demand issue in electricity. And with that, I'll hand over to next speaker.